Welcome to Beyond the High Road, a podcast dedicated to healing your heart and life following the grief of alienation. I'm your host, Shelby Mulford, a twice-certified life coach specializing in post-traumatic growth. If you're experiencing the effects of alienation and you're ready to heal, then this show is my love letter to you. Stay tuned. You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Mulford, episode number 85. Stay tuned. Hey, y'all. Number 85, only 15 episodes to the big 100. Seems crazy. Seems like, I don't know, it was just 10 episodes, like last week. Today, you guys, I want to talk with you about scrutiny. Being misunderstood, feeling misunderstood. So it kind of has been a brewing for, I mean, since the episodes, all of these started, since I started this show. And I had mentioned this to another fellow alienated mom recently, who I know through TikTok, that I would do an episode on this. I'd done like the bullied episode before, when you feel shaken, that one. But I thought at some point I definitely want to do when you're feeling harassed, you know, when you're being harassed. So that one was one that I mentioned to her as well. And then also this one, feeling scrutinized, feeling, you know, unfairly criticized, which let me just say is not to be confused with being falsely accused. I think I have to do one separate from that. I feel like when we go into false accusations, we're really talking about a more of a legal matter. And I want to keep this to how you handle yourself and how you move through to the other side of the adversity you face when people are talking shit about you, basically. Last week, if you guys heard that, the special episode that came out over the weekend, me like retelling that story got me thinking about being back in that very place back in 2017, what the turning point was. I mentioned in that episode that it was like right at the start, it was like the cusp of when I was getting ready to like start doing all the work. I had been doing work. I mean, I was an adamant Audible listener. You know, I listened to books nonstop, especially while I was still with the other guy, the Byron guy, trying to get right with myself. You know, it takes so much before you finally break, but there's so much curiosity and uncomfortability, like shit's got to change. Where is it? And you look within, you start blaming yourself. Maybe it's me because hello, especially when you're with the narcissist, you're like, maybe it is me, you know? And so I had let my Audible membership just expire out because I had collected, I don't know, like 10 extra credits over the years. I'd been a member since like 2011 or something, maybe before that. And so I hadn't had a membership probably since the beginning of the year. This is not a paid promotion for Audible, by the way, just saying. But whatever you download while you've got the subscription, you keep those titles, which is kind of nice to know. I don't know that I ever knew that until this last weekend. So I went back into my Audible. Just by the titles alone, you could tell what state of mind I was in throughout the years, right? We're thinking all the way back from 2011 until, what, 6 months ago, right? It was really, and I was an avid listen reader. It was so interesting to me. Do you know how like when you hear a song, it takes you right back to that place and or that moment in time where you first heard it or whatever memory it is that stands out for you? That's kind of what this Audible book list did for me, because I was trying to figure out at what point did the healing journey actually start and how. Like, what was it that spurred me? And it was being so sick and tired of feeling singled out and scrutinized, feeling unfairly, unjustly hated on, misunderstood was such a frustrating thing for me, you know? And I think so many humans in general, they don't have to be going through something like this, right? But feel the same way. And it goes all the way back to the human condition and how we are bred, raised, like it's in our DNA to want to be accepted into the group. Whether or not we want that group, like for our own, we want to know that we're welcome in any group. And so when we're feeling scrutinized, misunderstood, then your limbic system tells you that it's an emergency, that shit's not right, that we have to get it back, fight as hard as we can, do whatever we can do to be accepted into whatever group it is that happens to be scrutinizing you. And by group, I mean even just one or two people, right? But it's in us. This is just human nature. The problem is there are some people out there that want to misunderstand us, want to misunderstand you. There are people out there that are not interested in the truth, in your truth. There are people out there that are looking for confirmation bias, right? Evidence to prove what they want to believe or what they already believe. And so also, it was very convenient. Let me just say this really quick before I forget, full disclosure, is that yes, the reason I wanted to bring this up for y'all is because this is something we're constantly under, right? Scrutiny, criticism, just being unfairly judged, gossiped about. People take stories and then they run with them. And before you know it, it's a mean game of telephone and you have become Satan on a mission. So there's that. And I promised somebody that I would do this episode. But also what really spurred it along this weekend was like me going through and finding all that stuff. It was like this perfect storm of things. But also there was an incident, which I'm going to get to in just a little bit. So just keep that in mind that I have my own situation of feeling scrutinized, being misunderstood coming up. So just hold that thought while I go through the rest. So I found the one book that really, really started my path to self-empowerment. Actually, when I looked at the library and saw this book there, it reminded me of going on my hikes. I lived in the Texas Hill Country, as you guys probably remember me saying before, and the hills in my neighborhood alone were just so steep, like nothing you would think about Texas. Such steep, crazy topography. Just, it was a very hilly, windy, roaded neighborhood that I lived in with all the deer and all the things, and I loved it. But it took me right back to listening to Mark Manson's book, A Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And I developed myself this crazy little literary crush on this guy, because not only did he just talk in such a matter-of-fact, who gives a fuck sort of way, but he made sense. A lot of sense to me at the time. In fact, after that book, I became part of his whatever. He had this like club, maybe he still has it, like this membership that you paid, I don't know, something like $5 or $10 a month. And you got like all of his private content. It was a subscription, basically. But I remember feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm part of Mark Manson's club. It's so silly. But anyway, I became an avid Mark Manson follower. He really did. That book is now, I'm sure, played out. Like, and I've even listened to him more recently go back on or sort of challenge some of this, the things that he said in that book. But that book to me was full on liberation. It was a very relaxed, matter of fact look at life, mistakes, what people say, and why it's important to not give a fuck. It was so freeing for me during a time where I felt highly scrutinized, where I felt ostracized, alienated, isolated, shamed, publicly shamed, and I was doing my own shaming. So that book really, really, really helped me. And then somewhere on my path to like in my Mark Manson club, quote unquote club, I believe it was him, or maybe it was just in that time frame. I read, and I forgot that I had that, because this one wasn't in my library. I had to re-download it, and I started listening to it over the weekend because of the next thing I'm getting ready to tell you. And I was like, wait a second, I know this book. Like, I full-on know this book. But this book, the underlying message there is almost to a T what I share with you guys on the regular basis. Sometimes I think we, in our healing, on the way to becoming, it feels, you know, clunky and it seems like these were such big ideas. But when you've immersed yourself in it, marinated in it, and then started acting, being it, you forget that there even is an it, right? That this is anything other than what you've always been. Does that make sense? So, and it's funny because when I was listening to this book again over the weekend, they suggested that. So the book is based on, and I'm going to tell you what the name of it is in a second, is based on a philosopher by the name of Adler. And so Adler had once said, at some point in the future, it might be that people forget my name. And if that is the case, that is great, because that means that my ideas have become so mainstream. I am paraphrasing here, but have become so mainstream and so familiar that they're now accepted. His ideas are now accepted as truths to many, not just him, right? Before Adler, there was Freud, and then Carl Jung came around the same time that Adler did. So Freud had one way of believing, and Freud sort of believed there was always a source to whatever results or outcomes that you had in your life. Like, if you were brought up poorly, that's why you're the way that you are right now. And that's the way that you're always going to remain, kind of, right? And where Adler, he was like, we can change our state of mind anytime we want. And that if we're not changing, and if we're blaming it like the Freudian way, right? If we're blaming it on our upbringing or the fact that we have no resources or the abusive situations that we are in, if we're basically having a victim mindset, then we're choosing that, right? It's a choice to act in anger. It's a choice to feel victimized and produce whatever results that you produce in your life. And now I'm getting into a whole new episode, but I just think it was amazing to me to see really where it all started for me was basically this book that I forgot that I read back in the day. And so the book is The Courage to be Disliked. The Courage to be Disliked. I'll link it below. Okay. So that book is basically a summary of what Adler believed. We are social creatures, and any problems that arise in the world, arise in your life, are due to the way that we are acclimated socially. Any problem can be boiled down to a relationship that we are social creatures. We need the community, but also the way that we look at and treat our relationships, how we should act, shouldn't act, we need to impress this person, we cause other people's feelings, all of that stuff is what causes our problems today. Wanting to be accepted by others, not blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I cannot recommend, if you haven't read Mark Manson's The Subtle Art, you go read it. Please go read or listen to it. And then the other one, The Courage to be Disliked, it's basically a conversation with this older gentleman who I believe is a philosopher, or maybe he's and a younger, like coming of age kid. I don't know. I'm going to guess around 18. It's a great setup for basically, in my mind, I think of it as like the teen voice. His reasoning is sort of the naysayer that we all have in our own heads, right? Of like, yeah, but, and so that's what this teen is in this book. Constantly questioning what the older gentleman is trying to explain to him. So it's a fabulous read, and it makes so much sense with the way that we go about caring about what other people think. One of the other concepts that this book talks about, also Adler, and is what another person thinks of you, if they like you, if they dislike you, the judgments of other people. That is their task, their business, and not yours. This is where I got this from. And you guys hear me talk about, that's their business. That is their story. It's whatever has gone on in their life up until today is why they have the judgments they have. It's all about them. And it is no concern of yours or mine, whoever is being judged, right? Concerning ourselves with what they are thinking is a huge waste of time. And I know it's so difficult to adopt and implement this concept because of what I already explained and what you guys, I'm sure, had already known about the fact that we want to be accepted. And even if we don't want to be in that group, we want to know that we're welcome anywhere, right? We don't want to feel shunned, disqualified, judged by anybody. It makes sense, right? So learning how to be okay with people not liking us, it is a challenge. And I would argue and urge you to, if that is your area of weakness, like if that's a, you have a really hard time with accepting when people don't like you or when they're judging you, I think that that's when you need to lean into it the most. Like if you are worried about, which this was me too, right back at this time frame, which is why I think all of these books came about for me, is that I wanted to make something of what had happened, right? Of all of this disaster. I couldn't take just feeling at the effect of these people anymore. These people meaning, you know, the Alienator and even the other ex, you know, I just couldn't take being so passive and having them pointing their finger at me and feeling like such a victim of my life. I could not do it anymore. Couldn't. But at the same time, I felt so immobilized. I felt like if I were to, like, for instance, this was came later, but like, say I was put it out there that I was a coach, that I was coaching people, I was sure that that was going to be scrutinized. I was going to be laughed at. I was going to be judged. I was so sure of it that I stayed quiet, just like I was doing about what was happening with my daughter. I stayed quiet and I dared not speak because I was too afraid that I was going to be putting myself on the chopping block, like just nailing myself up to the bullseye, the target, you know? Like, why would I do that? That just seems like torture. And the way I did it was fine. But the best way to get over a fear is, of course, to go do that fear, do the thing that you fear over and over and over, like exposure therapy, until it's not a fear anymore. Of course, you want to do it in a way that's not, you're not going to re-traumatize yourself. But yeah, exposure therapy is the way to go, basically. Just little by little, work yourself up to facing that adversity and then facing it radically. Become an expert at it. Become an expert at being scrutinized, feeling scrutinized. And let me just say, be game, be open to taking scrutiny, so long as you're not also scrutinizing yourself. That's the one, like, I think it's obvious, but I also think it needs to be said. There is a fine line between going all in and then going in with them. I guess just make sure that you're treating yourself right, no matter what, you know, that you know what's true for you. Also, this weekend, I was going down this deep dive. I drove up to Orlando. I went up to run some errands, go to IKEA, do what have you up there. So I was listening over these books on the drive up there. It takes me like 2 hours to get there and then driving around. And then on the way home, I stopped to get a coffee and headed back 2.5 hours back, whatever it was. And I see on Instagram, I had a notification that whoever, somebody followed me, whatever, whatever. This one stood out to me though, because the person that followed me was this like PA inquiry, whatever. And I was like, what? And so I went and clicked on it and I found that this person who followed me, this woman, is basically questioning whether parental alienation is a thing or not. Now, that was the most positive way to say what her stance is. This was, I think that's what her tagline is, questioning parental alienation in quotes, right? And I go down and I look and she's got a video of me up there, one of my YouTube videos. And she was, of course, she had written all the things on top of it. You know, there were text on screen. I didn't even really pay attention to it. And I haven't really gone back there to see it. And I haven't gone back there since. But basically, she was putting it up there to criticize, have other people criticize me. And I thought, that's interesting. And so I didn't do anything. I just let it be. And I kind of sat in my head and I bounced it around and I was like, why? You know, what is her end goal here? And I'm, of course, I'm never going to really know that. But I drove home and I didn't say anything about it. And when I finally hit the house, I thought, you know, I think it would be silly of me to not say something. By the way, I should also say that some of the comments, I haven't gone back there, but the comments were like, she said something like, Shelby Milford believes that reunification camps or blah, blah, blah are the right way to go. And I don't remember exactly what she said, but basically just insinuating that I was a supporter of Gardner and of pedophiles, right? And I did not choose to entertain the madness, but I did make a comment on the post, and I just basically said that she could be better. She could be a better person and do better, concentrate on things that matter, things that uplift other women, in so many words, right? And I left it at that. And then afterwards, I had these comments and people tagging me and, why don't you set the record straight? Is this what you believe in? Do you support pedophilia? All of this stuff, right? And I haven't even bothered to go back and look, because to me, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. And it's like, there are some people, as I said in the beginning, that want to misunderstand. Whatever they want to judge about you, they've already made their minds up. And so basically, I've gone back and forth because part of me says, well, I don't see the harm in actually trying to set the record straight on the fact that PA is a thing and that the other, what they're referring to, people make false claims all the time. And we're not telling people to stop saying the word rape, right? When people are making false claims against rape, we're not doing that. Part of me says this is a losing conversation to even go into. But the other part of me says it needs to be said, because if not, they take something and then they run with that. I haven't done anything about it. And I've decided I'm not going to do anything about it until, and I'm almost there. I really am, because as you can see, I'm not super like riled up about it. I'm not taking it personally because I know what's happening there. You know, people that get into groups like haters, basically, that are in groups like this. And this, you can apply this, what I'm sharing with you. You can apply this to anything that's happening in your life, right? Whether we're talking about the Alienator or we're talking about a group of moms or dads, that's rare. But you know what I'm saying? A group of people that are maybe members of the church or whatever, that have ostracized you, same here. You can apply it all. But people that join together for the purpose of bashing another person, it is a really fascinating dynamic, I think, because they do it for the purposes of making themselves feel better. There's obviously an agenda there. I'm not going to assume for all people, but there's an agenda there to prove whatever situation that they need to relieve themselves of in their life, right? But also, too, there's the sense of importance, the savior complex thing going on, the feeling of recognition, the need for adoration from others. There's all of that happening. In those groups, the sense of camaraderie that people feel when they all have the same purpose, it can turn into, I really don't like using the word toxic because it infers the wrong thing here, but the energy behind that, the negative energy behind that is infectious and obviously not a good way, but it creates so much momentum. And it's really, to me, it's very ugly and it's not, obviously not rooted in love, right? But not much good can come of it. That energy to me, for me, is not worth going up against. It's not worth my sanity. There are some people that aren't worth reasoning with. And I don't mean that their lives don't matter and they're not worthy. Just there are some arguments that aren't worth having and some people that are not ready to receive any truth that you might have. But I will say the power that people do generate by doing it in groups in order to hate on or to go against, to call out other people. Imagine the people that are in that place. I was kind of talking about this in that one episode a while back about our unintentional hater mindset. I did speak a lot about this, about some of the groups, people on Reddit and how they all congregate together to just sort of bash each other or bash one other kind of person, whatever. It's just hate begets hate. Ugly, it generates more ugly, more dis-ease inside, right? And so if these people that hate on whatever they're hating on, they want to pretend like they're calling somebody out. They want to be more right than another group of people or another person. That person's wrong and they want to scrutinize because they want to feel that sense of power. And then again, in numbers, it feels so, it's like a sick, good feeling, right? But if you notice, if you've ever been a part of a group of like, even in middle school or something, if you were like, yeah, the mean girls group, you know, being like that, you ever notice that you have this like insatiable hunger to irk somebody or to point something out or to get one over on them, be better than them. When somebody makes an account that's anti you and that is what they are thriving on, it does create some sort of, it's like this negative momentum. But imagine though, that feeling has got to suck bad. And it's like, I don't want to look down upon them. That just creates the same thing that they're creating. We don't want to fight hate with hate, right? That's just creating more hate. It doesn't solve anything to look down the nose and judge the people that are hating on you or that are being ugly or whatever, unfair, you know, scrutinizing you. It does nothing for you to judge them back. It only creates more of the same. And so I guess my message today is that people are going to want to misunderstand you. They're going to want to find things to pull you apart for. Is it ideal? Absolutely not. But if you're allowing it to hold you back or to stop you from putting yourself out there, you're only going to be affecting yourself negatively. You're not saving yourself from anything except for maybe regretting not doing what has been in your heart the whole time, right? If you have the desire to do something and you're not doing it because you're worried about what people are going to think, even if it's just one or two people, what are they going to say about me? Are they going to scrutinize me? Are they going to criticize me? Whatever. I think this is something to look at for you into, you know, with care. And obviously, if you have not dealt with it yet, go work with a therapist or a coach. But I say lean into it. Don't let other people scare you into staying quiet. Don't let other people decide for you what your message is or isn't. Don't let other people muzzle you. I think that's just so important because if we're constantly living our life based on what other people might say or might think, or going to the extreme of that and trying to only please others, you're not living your life for you. You're living it for what you think other people want. And that's no way to live. You will regret every part of your life. That's why people go through like midlife crisis, is because they get to this time in their life where they thought that they would have everything and they're like, I have everything and now my life is meaningless. Well, yeah, it's meaningless probably because they've done everything that they thought they needed to do. And they're like, well, that's, I did everything my parents wanted me to do. I did everything that my wife or husband wanted me to do. I did everything that I thought was great for my kids, but I never did anything that was actually meant anything for me, you know? And so that's why people start acting all weird because they're trying to find themselves. And so if you are living your life scared of what people are going to say, stop. If you are only pleasing them and just doing what other people want you to do, then guess what? People don't really know you for who you are. And that really sucks because then you know on the inside. Well, they don't really even know me. So they like an imaginary me. And I've been talking about this quite frequently too. And then you get so far removed from yourself that you don't even remember who you are. So if you've got a desire inside you and you something keeps coming back around to you, like you want to do something, whatever it is, if you want to use your voice in some way, my urging to you would be to at least explore it. At least start digging around. You don't have to go actually do the thing, but start taking steps towards it until you can make the decision that you want to make in the end. Don't ignore yourself. There's another book called, is it Big Magic? Big Magic, I think it is, that talks about this very thing. Like she is, it's very, is whimsical the right word? She sees things in a fun way, but I haven't read this since I was back in Texas too. But she believes that when ideas come to you, that they are like, they come, you need to seize the moment with the ideas because they have a lifespan and a purpose, each idea that comes. I like and I don't like that because also that might make you feel like you invoke a sense of scarcity in you, like it has to happen now or it's too late. And I don't want you to get like that either, because I don't believe in that, that like there's only, you only have one shot. If you miss it, you miss it. I don't believe in that either. But anyway, go. That's another good book. And that one, I feel like it's an easy read and that's a pretty quick read or listen. The last thing I wanted to share with you is about people pleasing when you feel like you might be scrutinized, you know, and when you're living your life for somebody else and you're constantly like concerned with how other people are going to receive you. It's actually, it seems like you're other focused. It's actually a really selfish way to do things. Hear me out. I still do it today. So I get you. I understand. In fact, that was why for so long, and I'm still working through it, I have such a hard time doing live events because I'm constantly trying to interpret the needs of those who are actually there live with me. It's a lot easier for me to like just record like this because I don't feel like the pressure of somebody like needing me to stop or say something different at the right timing or whatever it is, right? So I get that you're like this, but it's actually a really selfish way to go about living because you think it looks noble that you're trying to serve other people and that's why you're concerned. But actually by doing it, you're really worried about how they are experiencing you. You hear me? Like you can't experience other people and actually put your attention on them fully because you're too busy worrying about what their experience of you is. Not what they're experiencing, but what their experience and thoughts are of you. And so really it all boils down to you, right? So you can never actually be fully present for whoever it is in that moment. That's why sometimes when we meet people for the first time or maybe the 10th time, you'll have a hard time remembering their names, people's names, or like, you know, anything about the first time you had a conversation with them, because you might have been very concerned with how you were presenting in their mind. Isn't that interesting? And so then you can't actually be there to experience your life and other people the way that we are supposed to when we're in community with them, when we could be connecting with them on a deeper level than what they're interpreting superficially about you, you know? So people are going to scrutinize. People are going to be assholes. And just if you can remember that the reason that they're doing it has everything to do with what they want to believe because of what their story is about their own self and their own upbringing and whatever's going on with them. This lady that I'm talking about that has this, you know, parental alienation inquiry, whatever. The mission there is to debunk and give a bad name to parental alienation. So why am I going to expect that these people are going to hear what I'm going to say, what I could say, and I might still say, I might actually put it out there. But, oh, this is what I wanted to tell you, is that if and when you ever go to, quote unquote, set somebody straight, when you go to speak your truth, I think it's very important that you are not attached to needing them to hear you, to needing them to change their opinion about you, because it will rarely happen. People have many times, and I don't mean to say this in a negative way, but many times they've made up their mind about you. I do believe, though, that words can be little seeds planted. Again, so long as you're not trying to control their opinion of you, because you will drain the life, the energy out of you. If you're making waves, if you're out there, if you are sharing you and what is truly inside of you, your beliefs, without the intention of hurting anybody, you're doing it mindfully, people are going to disagree with you. And I think the more that people push against you, the more proof for yourself that you're showing up, that you are being courageous and vulnerable, taking a stance and sharing the authentic, genuine you. And that is what matters in this world. Be you. Be who you are. I'm sure you hear this. You've been hearing it probably since you were in kindergarten, but I'm going to say it again. Who you are, nobody else can do. Nobody on this earth can be you. And all the information that I give you guys, I'm not reinventing the wheel here, right? There's nothing new that I'm telling you guys. It's just my interpretation of it. But you guys come to listen to it because you know it's coming from a genuine place. You know it's authentic. It's real. If I was always worried about how I was going to be received, which you guys know that I do, and I over-explain myself and I'm not sure sometimes, but if that held me back from speaking my truth, from releasing these episodes, I would be in a much different place than I am right now emotionally. And this podcast probably wouldn't be working out if I was scared to take a stance, right? We're also scared of being scrutinized publicly, shamed, humiliated, cast aside, away, ostracized. But the more that you become you and become confident and secure in broadcasting you out to the world, the more confidence you have in yourself, the more that you show up and you do it with pride and self-assuredness, the more that you build more of that momentum, right? And the more people that you will attract that are like you. So haters gonna hate. They're gonna hate. You don't need to join in, oppose them, or set them straight. You don't need to cower down or shy away from or change your direction, your goals, none of that. You just keep going on. Keep doing what you're doing if that's what's in your heart. You know, I think honestly, when people do push back on whatever message you have, I take that as I'm doing it right. I'm doing something right. I think the pushback too makes life more interesting. It makes life sometimes not in the best way, but honestly, that's what keeps us questioning what it is that we believe and how we show up. You know, for me, it sharpens me. This lady questioning what I had to say, it made me think about it for a second. Wait, do I agree with all of what I'm saying here? And it had me renew my confidence and assuredness and conviction about what I stand for. And for that reason, I mean, thank you, Parental Alienation Inquiry lady. You know, it's okay. It's going to happen. I'm all right with it. And here's the other thing too, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to go, is that these people she included were posing questions to me and out there, sort of thought-provoking, anger-inducing sort of questions, provocative questions, right? That if they really wanted to know the answers, they are all here. They're all here. You know, all they had to do was lift up a paper here, listen to an episode there. You know, it's all here. I'm an open book. So to me, part of me says, why do I need to go re-explain myself? It's all here. And I want for you guys to believe that too about you. You know, if we're talking about going to court and your kid and protecting yourself against these false accusations, like I said in the beginning, this is something different. And we can address that in a different episode. But when we're talking about somebody creating drama about who you are and what you stand for and how bad of a parent you are, or how good, whatever it is, you know, the drama shit, and you feel scrutinized and it just hurts. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm talking about here. The need for them to like you is in the DNA, is in just who we are as humans. But when you recognize why it's there and what your goals are and that what their objectives probably are, then it sort of puts everything into perspective. And yeah, don't let them stop you. Okay? Don't silence yourself. Don't let them silence you. My biggest thing, and you guys have heard me say this over and over and over again, is never act or don't act because you're fearful. For me, if you are fearful, then that is more reason to do it. So if you're scared of what people have to say about you or what they're going to say, what they're going to think, your limbic system will tell you it's a life or death situation, that you're going to die. I mean, you may not think that with this part of your brain, but your limbic system will sure tell you that, like, it will be the end of the world. Like, dun, dun, dun. But it's not, I promise you. And if that's your biggest fear, then you best lean in, go take a public speaking class or do something where you're putting yourself in front of people and speaking your message. Okay? The world needs your voice. All right, you guys. I love you. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you're hearing and you'd like to hear more, please make sure to click subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. Also, for bite-sized clips and tips, be sure to find me on TikTok or Instagram. See you next week.